firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to
What'll bring revival to our country and maybe even the world? Well, many say that it's prayer. But with more people praying than ever before, perhaps there's something more. And that's what we'll study today on Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Our lesson in 1 Thessalonians continues in just a moment. So go ahead and open your Bible, if you can, to chapter 2, verse 14. And as you do, I've asked Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, to update us on the exciting progress that we're making in our mission of taking God's whole word to his whole world. So hi, Greg. And where are we going today?
Hey, Steve, we're going to Africa today,
which
is really saying something, because Africa is a huge continent, both geographically and in terms of population. More than a billion people live in Africa. Over 27 languages of Through the Bible are broadcast to Africa.
And we've been there in one form or another since 1988.
Yeah, so more than 30 years.
Yeah, long time.
And one of the things we want to do today that I think this is going to be really fun is to go behind the scenes. And we often read the fruit of the ministry, but we forget that part of the vine, as it were, of the way God takes through the Bible and delivers the feeding of God's word to people is through what we call our producers, or sometimes just the speakers in different languages.
And a lot of people think those people are even based in the U.S. I mean, the vision of a bunch of cubicles with flags of the different countries and then we're overseeing them. It doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No, they are in country typically, unless it's an oppressive country, and then we're doing some creative things to get in there.
That's exactly right. And one of the reasons for that, first of all, it's the most effective way to work through partners that know where these people are.
Right.
But also their language skills tend to be very current. In other words, they're speaking the most current version of that language.
Right.
So we wanted to start with a language called Afrikaans, which is spoken in
South Africa,
good,
Namibia.
Steve.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah,
Namibia.
That's right.
And then to a lesser extent in Botswana and Zimbabwe.
You never cease to amaze me.
I am using my notes.
And more than 7 million people speak Afrikaans, and it sounds a lot like Dutch, and the reason is that South Africa was a Dutch colony many decades ago.
Right.
But Dr. Johan van Schalwijk is our Afrikaans speaker. And he said this when we asked him, how can we pray for you? Because one of the things we want to do is encourage our listeners here, our listening family, to pray for those who are taking TTB around the world. He said, my prayer is that the Lord will be present with every transmission of the program, and that through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the message will reach the hearts and spirits of listeners worldwide, and that the only God will be exalted.
Amen. You know, the other thing about, I don't know if we're going to go into the details about Dr. von Schalwijk, but he writes here, I had a humble upbringing. I received my theological education at the University of Stellenbosch in South Africa, as well as the University of Jerusalem in Israel. The Lord gave me a wonderful wife, and we have 4 children and 6 beautiful grandchildren. My greatest interest is studying the scriptures, but then making it as simple and understandable as possible. Love that last
part. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
And I remember one of our prior leaders, Colonel Ridgely Ryan, you serve with him on the board. He's now in heaven with the Lord. He used to say, just find a man who will be Dr. McGee to his people.
Yeah.
And I think this is clearly a picture of that.
Yeah.
So now let's go to the Gikuyu people group and Pastor James Karichu. Tell us about the Gikuyu people.
Well, there's 7 million people in Kenya. That's about 22% of the total population that speak this particular language. And we've been airing there since 2006. And this pastor's prayer request is that we would pray that the word of the Lord will saturate the hearts of the Gikuyu people. This is interesting, especially the many young men who are lost in alcoholism.
Yeah.
Families are being destroyed because of alcoholism. So that's something that you can pray tangibly for the 22% of the people in Kenya that speak Gikuyu. And then about the pastor, Pastor Karichu, he has a master's degree in theology from Daystar University. He's married and blessed with 2 girls.
Mm. Yes, and you hear that similar passion to get the word of God to people and to make it understandable. And this is the Holy Spirit, Steve, doing this. This would be impossible humanly to get so many people around the world who do that. Now, I think we have time for one more, and that is the Fon language. This is George Mahuna Kwese. What a great name. What a wonderful name. The Fon is spoken by just over 2 million people, mainly in southern Benin, Togo, and Nigeria. We've been on the air since 2009. And he asks us to pray for protection over the lives of those involved with Through the Bible. Mm. He's saying, ask God to give us wisdom and insight for the ministry. Continually ask the Holy Spirit to minister to him first so he teaches the Bible out of the overflow of his heart. That is just beautiful.
Yeah, that is wonderful. Greg, let me pray as we begin our study. Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful pastors and men who have taken the time to help in translating Through the Bible into their language for their people. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would continue through the power of the Holy Spirit to use this ministry in those particular languages. And I pray that you would use the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us as we hear the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come today to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and we're putting in today at verse 14. Now, this second chapter is actually a very remarkable chapter, by the way, because you have here the coming of Christ is a working hope. That is, it gets right down where the rubber meets the road. And we have seen already in this chapter the motive and method of a true witness for Christ. And this man, Paul, was giving out the word of God. And it irritated people, that is some, because it's salt. And if it gets in a fresh wound, that is where there's sin in the life. Word of God, I tell you, is like salt. Then we saw him revealing something that I feel today is needed in the churches. And here I go again as a retired preacher trying to tell the church what it should do. But may I say that I had to listen to it for years, so maybe I ought to get even. At least I'm going to venture this and believe that that's exactly what Paul is saying here, that the church should mirror the family of God down here on this earth. Now, I do not mean what I hear today over and over again. Our church is a family church. Well, I understand by that statement what they mean is this. Bring the whole family to church, and we'll send little Susie that's in the nursery. We'll put her over in a little bed. We got one for her. And we'll send Junior off with a bunch of other little brats his age, and he'll be at his peer group. And then we take the teenager and put the teenagers together. And then Mom and Pop, they go off with the couples class, and Grandma and Grandpa go with the senior citizens. Now, they call that a family church. Paul would know nothing about that type of thing today. And very candidly, I'm not sure that he would approve of it. But what he means here is that the church should reveal in a community what a family should reveal. A husband, wife, married relationship, and the child in the home should reveal the threefold aspect of the love of Christ and of God for the world today. For instance, the husband has a responsibility, the wife, and the child. We saw that in Ephesians. Now, here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul has already given to us the mother side of the church, the local church. And he was a mother to the church yonder in Thessalonica. The word here is a mother bird. And he didn't work 8 hours a day. He was on the job all the time for them because he was a mother to them. And then he developed the father side. And you need the father side. The tragedy today of divorces, I think that probably there are a lot of couples that ought to separate because of the fact that they are fighting like cats and dogs, and they can get out of the ring if they separate and quit fighting. But very frankly, the tragedy is the child in the home, because that child ought to experience the mother love, and it ought to experience the father love. And that father love is expressed in discipline. And Paul says he was a father to the church yonder in Thessalonica. Now, you will recall that we left off last time here in verse 13. 15. Let me go over that again. It's so important. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We mentioned last time that Paul not only emphasized the fact that the word had gone out in power and in the Holy Spirit, and he's going to talk about that again, we're going to see, went out in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the way we should give it out and pray that the Spirit of God should use it. But you see, the other side of the coin says to the believer, how do you receive the Word of God? Do you receive it as it is indeed the Word of God? I have heard this, and I'm not going to give the name of the man, but one of the great English preachers that had a warm ministry and had a very effective ministry worldwide in his own church in Africa, made up there largely of white people, by the way, although it was in Africa, that it was the coldest church that any person could ever be in. Why? Because of the preacher in the pulpit? No, he was giving out the word and doing it in a warm way. That is, he was giving out the word as God revealed it to him, but the way the people received it. And something that absolutely breaks contact and short circuits the word of God today is the way some churches receive the word of God. And God have mercy on a church. And I've observed this over the years, that when a church is given a Bible teaching preacher and they misuse him and abuse him and do not receive the word of God that he gives, God will practically shut the door of that church. And I've seen that happen, friends, time and time again. The Word of God is not only to go out in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, but it's to be received as the Word of God. That is important today. That's what makes contact. And when contact is made, how tremendous it is. Now we come to the brother side. Now the brother side is also important. That's the child side. And there is a responsibility. And here is where the brother aspect is. Verse 14, listen to him here. Now, this is the brother side of the apostles' ministry. For ye brethren, and that's brothers, for ye brothers became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, what is it that makes brothers today? There are two things that make brothers. We are all brothers, irrespective of color or anything, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in that category. We are blood brothers, if you please, because of the fact of sin. And that's put us all in the human family. That's a brotherhood of sinners. And since it is, it's not a loving brotherhood. You better watch your brother. That is the other human being, by the way. For ye brethren. Now, how are they becoming brothers and drawn together? He says, because ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen. Now, the Thessalonian church was largely a Gentile church. And the Gentiles, it was a Roman colony there in Thessalonica, they persecuted the early Christian. And they were causing them a great deal of difficulty at this time, although the great persecutions under the empress had not yet broken out. But they were suffering in Thessalonica. Now, Paul could say, well, you know, before you, the brethren over in Jerusalem, they suffered from their brothers, that is, racial brothers. And now this has drawn you two together. What is it drew them together? Suffering drew them together. And suffering is the cement that holds believers together. You know, the church today is coming unglued. And the reason, I think, is because it's like we're going to find later on in one of the prophets, Hosea, he says Ephraim waxed fat and kicked. That is, they entered a period of affluence, and they became very critical. And today, the church in this country right now is in affluence. And I'll be very frank with you, I think persecution is around the corner today. I could give you quotations from certain leaders that are very remarkable. Let me just give you one. Mr. Melvin Laird, at the convention up in San Francisco, why, he made the statement, and I don't know why he made it, but we took the clipping out of a magazine where he's reported to have said that he felt that Christians would have to suffer for their faith. Well, that would, to me, a very strange statement coming from him at a political convention. But that was the report that was given. Well, there are many others that are saying now, and we today pray for revival. I know any number of prayer groups that meet together and they pray for revival. Let me say this. I've never heard of one of them yet praying that they all might suffer or be persecuted, that revival might come. And very candidly, I do not think under the present state in this country we're going to have revival. Now, right now, there is a renewed interest in the Word of God that is tremendous. And there's some reporting it as a revival. I don't call it that. But we feel our program came in on the wave of this renewed interest in the Word of God. And it's the reason people are listening to the Word of God. I don't call it revival. I tell you, when revival gets here, nobody's going to ask the question, is this revival? They're going to say, this is it. And we haven't yet arrived. But I do believe that if suffering came to the church, it would draw believers together, and we'd cut out all this nonsense of picky, the other fella. He doesn't do it like I do. He's got a little peculiar doctrine. He feels like you should be baptized this way. My friend, today, are you a child of God? Then you're a brother of mine. I want you to know that. You may disagree with me, but you're my brother. You're my brother. Because we're in the family of God, and we should mirror that before the world. And when the church mirrors that before the world, then revival's going to come. I think that we are trying to take a detour and a shortcut to revival for praying for revival. Why don't we pray for the conditions that produce a revival? And you'll find out that it was man's extremity that brought revival at times in the past. The great Wesley movement came out of the dark day in England when they were on the verge of a revolution. We're not far from it either. And today we need to recognize that it'll take that sort of thing to produce revival. Now, that's not going to make me popular with certain groups, but somebody needs to tell him. You see, that's what Paul says here, and I'm merely just parroting what he said. Now, he goes on, verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 2, who both kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, I consider this a remarkable passage of Scripture, and it reveals a great principle. God permits sin to run its full course. And the figure of speech that the prophets used was that the cup of iniquity must be filled up, and God's permitting it to be filled up. In other words, God won't check it, because if he did check it, Satan would say, see, you didn't give me a chance. You wouldn't permit me to go all the way. Now, God's going to let him go all the way. And I interpret the great tribulation as that, by the way. Now, will you notice verse 17 here that we have? Now you have the reward of a true witness of Christ. Listen to him. But we, brethren, here he goes again. This is brotherhood. This is real brotherhood, by the way. This is the real ecumenical movement. When you're in Christ, you see, we're all brothers in Christ. But I tell you, outside of Christ, we'll cut each other's throat. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Isn't that lovely of the Apostle Paul? Paul has run out of Thessalonica, and he said, I hated to leave you, and I want to come to you again. And he did, by the way. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan, or the adversary, hindered us. Now, Paul has a spiritual discernment to see that it was Satan's strategy that kept him from going to Thessalonica. And Satan here means adversary. I believe that Satan would hinder this program of getting the Word of God out, and we have seen several instances of it. We were on a radio station in which we were reaching an entire area, and things were going so nicely, and a godless man bought that station, and he put all religious programs off. There were other good programs on that station, and he put them off. Why? The enemy, the adversary, he doesn't want the Word of God given out. Now, listen to Paul, verse 19 now. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now, Paul says that one of the greatest things that the coming of Christ to take his church out are going to be these people that he led to Christ. By the way, friends, is there anybody going to be in heaven that's going to come up to you and thank you for having part in giving out the Word of God to them that got them saved? Have you given to missions? And there probably will come somebody way out yonder in a place and a person you never even heard of, and going to say, I want to thank you for giving to missions. I want to thank you for being interested in getting the Word of God out, because it came to me because of that. And that, my friend, is going to be part of the reward that we get in heaven. Oh, that you and I recognize that. It's one thing to believe that Jesus is going to take the church out of the world. It's another thing to have somebody to go along with you that trusted Christ because of you. We leave off right there today, and we'll pick up there next time, friends, at the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians.
You know, it's true. I can't think of anything better than someone turning to Jesus because of what they saw or heard in our lives. And I also pray that together we meet countless people who are in heaven with us because we offered our prayers and support to Through the Bible's worldwide ministry. You know, we have so many choices here in the United States, but for many people, Through the Bible is the only way that they'll hear of Jesus Christ. Think of that. The only way that they'll hear of Jesus Christ. So thank you to those of you who specifically pray as World Prayer Team members and you who provide much needed financial support. For those of you who maybe have never given, today is a great day to become a partner with us. Every day we broadcast this program in more than 120 languages and dialects around the world, and we're growing. And we're always asking God to direct us to new places where his name hasn't yet been heard or his word taught. And we'd love to have you join us in this mission of reaching the whole world with the whole word. You can visit ttb.org/give, or you can just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if you want to find out how your prayers and financial gifts will share the name of Jesus with those who maybe haven't yet heard his name and his offer of salvation. And if you know maybe a neighbor or a friend who's searching for God, why don't you invite them to join you in listening to our broadcasts on your station or by listening online or through our app? You never know how the Lord's working in their lives. So visit ttb.org to explore the many listening options you've got. Also available on our website is a quick and easy tool to help you share God's word with family members or friends who maybe speak another language. Visit the resources section at ttb.org and click on the button that says Bible in your language. There you'll find the audio and text version of the Bible available in more than 1,800 languages and a link to the Bible.is app that's available for both Apple and Android mobile devices. So check it out at the resources section of ttb.org. That's ttb.org and click on the Bible in your language link. And as always, if we can help you find a resource by Dr. McGee to deepen your personal study of God's Word, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, or you can write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now, tomorrow, the Bible bus takes us further down the road on our journey through 1 Thessalonians, so I certainly hope that you'll hop aboard and join us. Until then, I'm Steve Schwetz. Thanks for joining together with us around God's Word. We're praying that God will richly bless you as you walk with Him today. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.